many locations all around the world, particularly tune in to hear these 3 hours a week we do, Erica and I, to try to bring you the best information that we can distill from the noise. And it is noise. There's so much noise out there now, and they're doing it all the time intentionally. I'm not sure if AI isn't running a lot of it. They know how to destabilize what's left of the culture and keep people on edge, keep them afraid, keep them worked up, keep them confused, keep them in a state of chaos. They know how to do this. There's so many stories today just popped out. We'll get to those in a second. Hello, young lady. How are you?
I am fine. How are you, Jeff?
I'd like a hummus sandwich.
Oh, it's dinner time there, isn't it? You're working through dinner.
That's right. How am I? Let me count the ways. How am I? I don't know. I'm still here. I have this really weird feeling of, I explained it last hour a little bit, and I think a lot of people do. It's a feeling of, not fear, it's a feeling of dread. Something really big and really bad is coming. And that might include the idea, the concept, that what's left of our society, our culture, suddenly wakes up one day en masse and realize that it has largely been killed, destroyed, ruined, irrevocably damaged, injected into oblivion, and that the health system is dying, the economy is dying. It's all dying, and all by design. I think that may be the realization that's coming. That would be a very dreadful thing to see, because what are people going to do? Get out in the streets? Ain't going to happen. Demonstrate? If they really did, they'd be shot down in the streets. That's what would happen. These bastards are they're demonic, utterly demonic. We have no government. It's not ours. It's theirs, and we're not a part of it. Anyhow, we have some very interesting commentary by Dr. David Martin coming up in a couple of minutes. But as far as keeping the chaos level up, here are a couple of stories. CDC warns of dangerous fungal infection spreading through the U.S. at an alarming rate. That's a quote, an alarming rate. And that fungal infection we'll talk about in just a moment. Here's another one for you. Tanzania's first Marburg virus outbreak kills 5. Who reports? The WHO. Tuberculosis drugs, market forecast to 2028. Why would I mention that? What's the story about TB doing? TB's gone, isn't it? Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. It's not gone at all. Epidemic rates of suicide in veterinarians is now through the roof. There's another story. We may or may not have time to get to that. But there's just stuff all the time they're throwing at us to keep us from being able to cogently gather it in, synthesize it, and come up with some meaningful data out of it. A lot of it's just lies and bullshit anyway. It's not true. They just make it up. It's all a theater. It's a cheap carnival theater. And we're trapped in the seats. The only thing we can do is get up and get the hell out. But how do people turn off that big screen when they think that's news and information? It's not. It's programming. Your brain, and I know all of you out there get this, but so many of you have friends who don't, me included. They think they're being informed by staring at that goddamn screen. All right. What about this dangerous fungal infection that's spreading at an alarming rate in the U.S.? They drop these little fear things all the time on us.
Yeah, that's this Candida auris. It's known to be drug resistant. And apparently it's on the rise. Now, didn't we cover this story a year ago?
Several months back. I don't know how many.
And here it is again.
We did. Candida auris, they pick these things up and they recycle them and they inject them back into the flow of disinformation. Yes, Candida auris, A-U-R-I-S, was said to have a very high mortality rate, was in hospitals, and there was nothing they could do to get rid of it, et cetera, as I remember the story. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I think, actually, Fox News covered it the other night with their resident doctor, Bernie Siegel, and he was saying that, well, I mean, he was factual in the first part of his presentation. He said that it generally is limited to people with compromised immune systems or those that have been hospitalized. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, funnily enough, we have an epidemic now of people with compromised immune systems. And so I think they're laying the groundwork for what will probably be epidemic numbers of this fungal infection, much the same as that mucormycosis was in India two years ago?
Boy, was that horrible.
You know, another opportunistic infection of a fungal nature. Mm-hmm. And when conditions are right in the body, these fungal forms can take over. And this particular one doesn't seem to have any viable treatment for it, so the mortality is something like 60% if it enters your bloodstream. Now, if you have a competent immune system, it shouldn't be an issue, but again, you know, how many people who have had how many injections now?
Well, let's figure
the bill for...
We're sitting on around 83% injected in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and all of those who have gotten even one viable, non-spoiled a viable injection of this biological weapon of death, they're in trouble. And they have at least a compromised immune system. Many people have a crashed immune system. They got next to nothing left.
Right.
It's just very
stupid. They're already, in many cases, dealing with just the garden variety candida.
Right.
Which
that's when your tongue gets white, fans, in case you don't know.
Yeah. Thrush. And yeah, that can become systemic too, or just really a nuisance. It just, you know, it produces byproducts that give you brain fog and achy joints, and it's not good. The good thing is this Candida auris isn't very transmissible, let's say.
So far.
So far. Well, that's the one caveat that this Dr. Bernie Siegel on Fox News said. But, you know, if it's been made in a lab or tinkered with in a lab, this could be very serious.
He said that, yes. I'll be damned. Yeah, good for him. Yeah, they can take anything they want and tweak it and then release it and call it the same thing. So is it the real Candida auris, or is it the new enhanced Candida auris 2.0 that they're not talking about? Who knows? We're just like a cat and a mouse, right? Cat's just playing with a mouse. Long as it wants, then it'll just kill it. That's a terrible analogy, but that's pretty close to the truth. So there you go.
I'd be more concerned about the increase in tuberculosis. I think there was a case in Colorado. They normally have, maybe one outbreak every, I think they said 3 to 5 years, but they're seeing, an increase in cases. Why would that be?
Probably because they want it.
I think that, again, when we have a population, high percentage of the population with immune suppression, we're going to have increases in these types of diseases.
There's so many people carrying TB now, I would fear to think how many in this country and around the world. The whole world has a compromised immune profile now. I think all of those who have been involved in this horror called COVID are now they're in trouble. So when you get in trouble, you're open to almost anything, and that's called compromised immunological function. You don't have it.
I think it's telling that they're putting out a forecast for till 2028 for tuberculosis drugs.
Just looking at that right now. Yeah. Tuberculosis drugs, market insights and forecast to 2028, assuming we're going to be here in 2028. The TB drugs market study describes how the technology industry is evolving and how major and emerging players in the industry are responding to long-term opportunities and short-term challenges they face. How comforting is that? One major attraction about TB and the drugs industry thereof is its growth rate. Many major technological players like Pfizer, Lupin Laboratories, AstraZeneca, Novartis, etc., have been looking into TB drugs as a way to increase their market share and their reach toward customers. Isn't that nice? They're thinking about us. not thinking about profits at all, thinking about us. So there you go. TB drugs market size projected to reach multi-million U.S. dollars by 2028. I'd say that's a conservative statement. In comparison to 2023, this year, at unexpected CAGR during the forecast period of 2023 to 2028. This is all, look, you understand that last year in the third, I think this is the third quarter, Pfizer racked up $79 billion in profits in one quarter. Jeez. Nobody remembers that because they don't talk about it that much. It's obscene. So it's all about money. How much money is too much money? No such thing. Not to the people in this game. They can't be too rich. No chance.
No.
All right, Dr. David Martin. Now, Erica found this the other day, and I want to commend the Kim Iverson Show for getting him on. She did a good job. He is, of course, one of the few people that has been, I would say, if we were to point to someone who says things that we fully agree with and have been saying ourselves for a long time, it would have to be Dr. David Martin. He does speak from a legal jurisprudence standing that most people don't have. It's very interesting. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I liked him from day one. I haven't seen any reason not to trust what he's saying. I think he's genuine.
Right.
He's a solid researcher. Many decades of experience investigating various agencies pertaining to the government, contracts, patents, those types of
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
And presents it very cogently. And he was featured in that documentary Plandemic very early on and just nailed it with the history of this coronavirus research going back to 2002.
Right. Sometimes I have said things that I'm sure a lot of you don't agree with. One of the things I've said that may be difficult to understand is that people talk, well, we're going to sue them. We're going to take them to court. We're going to file an action. We're going to stop this. No, in my view, and it's just my view, not speaking for Erica, those days are over. The courts are done. They're all owned, operated, and paid off by the international global elite. Maybe not at your local level, but that doesn't matter. Let's say you win at the county level. You have to go to an appellate court, right? If the other side doesn't agree. The appellate courts are that's where it all stops. The buck stops there, and they win. The appellate courts will shut down any good progressive decision that comes up that could be trouble for the controllers. That's what the appellate courts do. I'm not saying that all appellate courts are bad. I'm just saying that most of them are. Let's listen to what Dr. David Martin has to say about the idea that the courts are still a viable format for people to consider pursuing.
Congressional activity, not through judicial activity. And I'm a huge critic of the judicial system in the United States because I don't think we have a judiciary. I don't think that we have a free and fair judiciary that allows the citizens to have their concerns redressed. I don't think that exists in this country, but I...
Amen, David Martin. Absolutely. I could not agree more. Really well said. It doesn't exist anymore. It's gone.
Well, we saw that. I mean, the icing on the cake was the 2020 elections.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to have to back this up. I'm telling you, the screen just flicked again. Somebody's playing here. All right, here we go.
Of the judicial system in the United States, because I don't think we have a judiciary. I don't think that we have a free and fair judiciary that allows the citizens to have their concerns redressed. I don't think that exists in this country, but I do know that I have been able to prevail in some very large legislative wins. And in both of those cases, in both the SEC and the IRS cases, we've changed the law and won for the American people.
It's interesting that you point out the judiciary because so many of us point out Congress. You know, many of us look at Congress or the executive branch and say these two branches are just not working for the American people. And you're pointing out the branch that so many Americans would look at and say, well, we could get it done at least through the courts. If we can't get it done through Congress,
in fact,
and you're saying the opposite.
No, it, as a matter of fact, the from the Supreme Court on down, the government checks and balances system, which is supposed to be in place, has been inaccessible to the citizens of the United States. And certainly during the last 3 years, we've seen the evidence of that time and time again. No court, and I include Florida, and a lot of people go, but what about face masks in Florida? And the answer is they did the right thing almost. But the fact of the matter is the actual crimes that were perpetrated by government agencies on the citizens of America have never been held to any account in any court anywhere in this country. And even the attempt to try to get a court to hear these things has been thrown out on procedural matters. We don't have a single justice anywhere in this country that has had the decency of hearing a case. So, you know, you can sit there and talk till you're blue in the face about the fact that we're supposed to, under the Bill of Rights, we're supposed to, under the Constitution, have equal protections. We don't. The judiciary is entirely, entirely captured by the corrupt political appointments that make the judges judges, and that appointment system is broken beyond repair.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, gang, there you heard it. That expresses our view very succinctly, right on the money, and it's true. And I've been saying it for a long time. The system isn't broken. It really doesn't exist anymore in the form that we used to look at it. It's gone. It's not there.
Yeah. My big criticism about the COVID wins, it's great that we have these wins, but the wins are not real wins. They're all on technicalities. They're just, oh, well, this agency didn't say everybody had to be mandated, so therefore it is arbitrary and capricious, rather than actually going on the merit of the mandate itself, right? Many of us just want the mandate thrown out because we'll say, well, the vaccine doesn't work. How could they possibly push this on us? And that's never the ruling. It has never been in that way. No. And you're right. When it comes to, for example, even Trump's team and their challenges on elections, you know, none of those, all of those cases were denied by judges based on procedural. It wasn't on the actual subject matter. And that's the unfortunate part, is whether something happened or didn't happen, the American people deserve the day in court to find out. And we're not getting it on a variety of different subjects where we could put a subject to rest, right? We could just say, okay, that has now been put to bed. We know the truth on it, or we don't. And we continue to never get to the truth when it comes to the judicial system. So that's unfortunate to find out that, and I know there's a deeper dive there that I could do at a later time, really digging into the judicial system and why it is not working for the American people. But let's now, so you've spent your entire career examining data, examining.
Just a little footnote on that. Okay, well, she's seeing it and she's agreeing with him. And he did state it extremely eloquently. He was correct. We don't have a judiciary. We don't have a judicial system. We don't have a Congress. We don't have an executive branch. And let's just mention the Supreme Court for fun. That's a joke. So what do we have left other than your local town or city county elections where you might be able to make a difference? And I'm saying that we do need to stay engaged at that level at least. But when you start looking at the big boys, they're not us. They're all controlled. They're blackmailed, bribed, bought off. It doesn't matter, bought off. It's done. I'm sorry to say this, and I don't want to sound defeatist, and I don't want to plant negativity in people's minds, but I've been in this business a long time, watching, learning, researching, studying, completely absorbing as much as possible. David Martin is 100% correct. He's right. Mm-hmm. It's done. All right, that's enough. You want to add anything there?
No, it's clear as day.
Okay.
What led you to examine the COVID patents for coronavirus? Were you hired by an agency to begin looking at those, or was this something you did on your own?
No, a very alarming patent was applied for by UNC Chapel Hill in 2002. And just to make sure your viewers and your listeners remember, SARS, as what we call SARS, didn't exist then. We didn't have SARS until the winter of 2002 going into the spring of 2003. That's SARS 1.0. But in the spring of 2002, the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill filed a patent on what was called an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. Now, just let's unpack that sentence. Infectious replication defective. What does that mean? That means it's not coming from nature. It means that we're building a thing that is supposed to target human cells. And we're going to build it in such a way that we can put a switch inside of that thing to activate, to harm the human cell. And what human cells were being targeted? Well, heart and lung. If you go back to 1990...
I think we can throw brain in there, too.
Pfizer filed its first patent on the first coronavirus vaccine. That vaccine was for dogs and pigs. Because it used to be that coronavirus infection was a gastrointestinal problem. But in 2002, after a decade of work, Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, figured out how to make what was called an infectious replication defective clone. And that was the tool that was going to be used by Anthony Fauci, funded by his organization, NIAID. That was going to be the gain-of-function tool that was going to then be the envelope into which we would insert mRNA, which would then activate a infection and harm to the cell that's being targeted. And when that particular patent was filed in 2002, I knew that we had a problem. Because when you announce to the world that you have taken a pathogen that was allegedly a problem for dogs and pigs, and you now make it a targeted pathogen for humans, and not just any old human, it's not just a gastrointestinal version of this. This was specifically optimized to go after heart and lung tissue. That's a weapon. That's not an interesting study. That is actually the development of a weapon. And then you use the term infectious replication defective. That's even more the admission that that's a targeted thing, because the way we think of the viral model is that I get sick and then I pass the sickness on to you. Remember when we were kids, people had chickenpox parties where everybody got chickenpox, right? These ideas that these things get infected, and then we infect other people. This was to build a weapon to target an individual. And that was filed in 2002 before we ever had SARS. My contention has been and remains that we invented the weapon that became SARS, that never came from an animal, never came from some sort of transfection across or transmutation from a zoonotic source. This was humans building a weapon where we were turning biology against humanity.
Okay, so...
Very well said, Ed. Ralph Baric, that's a name you've heard from us off and on for a long time. We don't know where Ralph Baric is, but we do know that Ralph Baric was intimately involved with this whole thing. And was he put to sleep somewhere? Was he sent out to pasture? We don't know.
Yeah, he hasn't been seen or heard from in 2 years, I think, at least not publicly.
I think you got it. I think that's correct. He's just vanished.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's jump ahead just a little bit here. Okay, here we go. We're listening to Dr. David Martin, if you just joined us.
Drugs in the 1980s, whether it is the alleged war on AIDS in the 1990s, whether it is the alleged war on terrorism in the 2000s, and whether it's alleged war on biology and carbon in the 2010s, the bad news is that our government fully intends to harm its citizens. And I hate to be the bearer of that bad news, but let's get real. It's time for us to actually stop pretending like if they say it outright and they tell us that that's what they're doing, we should try to understand maybe they didn't really mean what they were saying. So let's get really real. When Ralph Baric says synthetic coronavirus is a platform technology for a bioweapon, that is not a public health research project. A bioweapon is a weapon. It is not a public health research project. And when you see in their papers that they say they are going to use it and they're going to deploy it so that the public accepts a universal vaccine, you're not sitting there going, oh, hold on a minute. So this was an accident thing and we didn't really mean to do it. No, they actually said they are going to deploy an agent, a respiratory pathogen, so that the public will accept a medical countermeasure. That is self-inflicted harm. And we can sit there till the cows come home and go, well, they didn't really mean that, did they? But then let's listen to what they actually say. And this is a quote from Peter Daszak, the collaborator with Ralph Baric, in 2015. And this is his language in front of the National Academy of Sciences. He says, to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures, such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine, a key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process.
Money.
Does that sound like public health to you?
Money, media. You see, it's all about they're getting rich killing billions of people on the planet and treating those who are grievously wounded and injured with all these tests and everything else they're doing in the hospitals. This whole thing has been so satanic and evil that it just doesn't register with most people. They can't accept it. But I just media, money. Daszak identified it. They were going to use the media to frighten people, to use this synthetic coronavirus, which had a 99.99975% survival rate in the beginning, the Wuhan strain, so-called, to frighten people. And they knew in advance that people would be frightenable and that they would line up to get the shot to protect them. So they renamed the influenza, the annual influenza outbreak, and called it COVID. Died of COVID. No, they died of remdesivir.
Or any number of other things.
Many other things.
COVID was put on the death certificate of just about everybody.
Correct. I'm going to back this up and play it again just a little bit. This is really priceless information put together by David Martin, which we have agreed with from the beginning.
A weapon. That is not a public health research project. A bioweapon is a weapon. It is not a public health research project. And when you see in their papers that they say they are going to use it and they're going to deploy it so that the public accepts a universal vaccine, you're not sitting there going, oh, hold on a minute. So this was an accident thing and we didn't really mean to do it. No, they actually said they are going to deploy an agent, a respiratory pathogen, so that the public will accept a medical countermeasure. That is self-inflicted harm.
The medical countermeasure is the so-called vaccine. Just make sure you're all on the same page here. That was the medical countermeasure. We're going to protect you with this vaccine for your health. Nothing could have been further from the truth. Nothing.
Sit there till the cows come home and go, well, they didn't really mean that, did they? But then let's listen to what they actually say. And this is a quote from Peter Daszak, the collaborator with Ralph Baric, in 2015. And this is his language in front of the National Academy of Sciences. He says, to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures, such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine, a key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process.
Incredible.
Does that sound like public health to you?
I guess it is.
It's an admission of domestic terrorism.
Right.
That's an admission of domestic terrorism. That's not public health. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. And we're sitting here pretending to go, well, but they didn't really mean that. No, they really did.
It's just hard to imagine. That's why it is.
See what she said? She just heard the truth, the unvarnished truth, laid right in her lap. And she said, it's hard to imagine. She's still trying to process it. And she's a capable person. That's how they did it. People cannot believe what has been done to them and what was being done to them 2 years ago. These injections have nothing to do with public health, your health, my health, or anybody's health. They have nothing to do with vaccinations. These are weapons. We know now, thanks to one court that forced these documents from Pfizer to come into the light of day, that this bioweapon, this so-called vaccine, was planned. And not by Pfizer. They built it, but it was planned by the Department of Defense and the Pentagon. It's a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
I mean, I'm not knocking her at all. She does a good job. But I want to back this up a little bit and listen to how she responds to David Martin just dropping nuke after nuke of truth.
Profit at the end of the process. And we're sitting here pretending to go, well, but they didn't really mean that. No, they really did.
It's just hard to imagine. That's why it is our natural inclination to say, well, they must have been doing this for some good purpose, because it's difficult for us to imagine. I guess we each, as American citizens or just as citizens of the world under any government, probably needs to come to the realization that our government views us as soldiers in the military, essentially.
Yes.
We're no different than pawns in the military. And we know that the military has done extensive experimentation on soldiers without them even knowing.
Right.
There's actually a big case where many of them were experimented on throughout even World War II, from the 1922 to 1975. There was thousands of soldiers who were experimented on, who then sued the government.
Yep.
For this, and without them knowing, many of them died. And if we understand, I suppose, that this is something the government has knowingly done to soldiers, that they view all of us. And that's why we have a draft, for example. A draft is, we're all viewed as soldiers. They can just call
cattle. Forget soldiers. We're viewed as cattle. Cattle.
Yeah.
And chattel. And sheeple.
At any time and say, it's your time to die. You're going to have to go off and die now. And so I think if we just, it's against our intuition. We just want to believe that, oh no, they're doing it for the greater good. There must be some good reason for this. But at the end of the day, we're all pawns in the we're all soldiers in the military. And we need to terms with that.
And the Patriot Act made it illegal to terrorize or coerce a population into doing something it would not otherwise do. And Ralph Baric and Anthony Fauci and Peter Daszak admitted directly, not by implication, admitted directly that they would attack U.S. citizens with a pathogen they made so that those citizens would take a vaccine that they would never have otherwise taken. That is not my allegation. That is their publicly published quotes in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And we sit here to this day debating on whether or not it was China or whether it was something else. Listen, we're trying to find the bank robber, but we're only going to find the bank robber provided that we don't look at the guy with the ski mask on and a gun holding a bag of money at the bank steps. We're trying to find the other guy. And my point and my frustration in all of these things, and you asked a great question at the beginning of this interview where we talked about, well, why haven't any of these things stuck? And the answer is, look in the mirror, every single one of us. I'm telling you something which is unambiguous. You cannot deny that Ralph Baric said synthetic coronaviruses were a bioweapons technology, not a public health threat, a bioweapons technology. And NIAID funded that program with DARPA. Peter Daszak said we were going to use the scare of this to create the media hype so that the public would accept a vaccine. That's not guessing whether there was a wet market or guessing whether there was something in Wuhan. That's the criminal admitting to the crime. And we are sitting here to this day, good people of goodwill and good intent who are sitting there with the evidence smacking us in the face. And to this day, not a single member of Congress, not including Rand Paul or Ron Johnson, not a single governor or AG, no one has been willing to look at the evidence, because what they don't want to confront is we did this to ourselves.
All right. We're going to stop it there. We'll have this up and you'll be able to look at it on the site. This is all really nice to see. It's not going to change much, but the evidence has all been there from the beginning. These three, I don't know what you'd call them, but these three males have all admitted to the whole scam. They just did. And they have a complicit media? Well, it's an owned media. It's owned and operated by the controllers who are ultimately behind this whole thing. So the media played along. Everyone was frightened. And they started saying, look how many people are dying. Well, these are mostly people with flu who were given remdesivir. Yeah, they died for damn sure. And so here we are with the truth. It's been out there, but no one will look at it. Not one congressman, not one congresswoman. Nobody will look at this. Now, he said because they don't want to admit the fact that the problem is us. No, they know that if they make a big noise, they're going to die. They'll just be removed. They'll just be taken out. They'll have a heart attack. They'll have turbo cancer, whatever. All these things are on the table now. They're tools. So they know if they cause a problem, they're gone. That's what's really holding it back.
Mm-hmm.
That's my
opinion. I would agree. No, I would agree.
All right. Well, thank you, David Martin. Excellent. Really good interview.
Yeah.
It's
about hour and 15 minutes in its entirety. It's worth watching.
Yeah. If you don't have an hour and 15 minutes, write this down or remember, just start around 38. And then again at 50. Right? 38, and then again at 50. Those are the two primary pieces that we just played. Okay. Well, there it is in broad daylight. And I these cowards in Congress, I guess maybe it isn't cowardly not to want to die. But they didn't. They failed. It's all about intimidation. They know that if they step out of line, they're going to pay the ultimate price. They remember John Fitzgerald Kennedy. They know. And how many other people have they killed between then and now? Uncountable numbers of people. Okay. Let us move on to our COVID Chronicles human file. But before that, is there anything else we want to mention here? We did mention briefly about veterinarians and things, and that's another issue that we'll cover maybe another time. But veterinarians are under a lot of pressure, and they are, unfortunately, committing suicide at record rates. They just can't take the pressure. And that goes into our program two or three, where we tried to make the point that shedding is real. Shedding will make your pet sick, will make you end up taking your pet to the vet. And that vet is exposed to spike all the time and mRNA and is having to put down pets all the time because of what he can't treat or she can't treat or that the owners can't pay for. And it's tearing them up.
Yeah, apparently this has been a trend now for a few years where it's a difficult profession. I think it's underappreciated. I mean, I was... I have a friend who's a vet, and she had posted something last week about a colleague of hers that she knows personally who committed suicide, and yeah, it's a thing. And I guess the typical male vet is 2.1 times more likely to commit suicide than any other profession, and with the women, 3.5 times more likely to commit suicide. Yeah, that's I used to think it was dentists and
Well, it was dentists at one point. That was sort of traditional. Dentists
and
had
then
the
air
highest.
Traffic controllers, I thought.
ATCs, yeah.
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 But apparently, yeah, vets. So if you're ever dealing with a vet, just know that they're under tremendous pressure, emotionally and in many cases financially. They've, put the time in to go to school for this and saddled with a horrendous debt, as much as any doctor, but they're not making the money that MDs are making.
No, making half. I have that story. It's a video story up in headlines now. The news is up. You can find it there. Just scroll down till you find the health stories about the so-called vaccine and the other issues that are involved with that. You'll find the stories about veterinarians there. And there's another story about pets and these so-called flea and tick medications. Be very careful about those. Very careful. As far as being a vet goes, I cannot imagine dealing with a clientele, the animals, who have an average life expectancy of between 10 and 15 years, and you're the one who is going to have to end up injecting them and killing them to put them out of their suffering.
Yeah,
I cannot even imagine that as a business.
That's a factor. That's driving the suicide.
Sure it is.
Being in that position. I watched the video. It's about 4 minutes. It sums it up nicely, what they're confronted with.
Right. Yeah, you have a beautiful dog and comes into the vets, and the vet looks at it and says, intuitively, you know, this is one day I'm going to have to kill that dog or put it down or cat.
Mm.
No. Not it's a tough business. So be kind to your vets. And if they're on edge and rude, they probably have damn good reason to be.
Yep.
Okay. Now, where do we want to go in our human files here?
Let's do the VADES profile.
All right. I'll start off with number one here. Let me get where is it? Oh, there it is. All right. Drew has been sick roughly every 3 weeks this winter. Upper respiratory symptoms and fatigue that completely clear up in 1 to 4 days. But at least one day in bed, all day, wiped out. Is the middle school just that germy this year? Drew is her middle school child. Anyone else seeing a similar pattern and it's just that kind of a winter? The frequency is starting to concern me. And Peggy responds, oh, no. And then another responds, nobody else ever gets it, which is also why I'm starting to question it. COVID tests are always negative. And why don't you pick it up from there? This is your thing.
Okay. This just gives you an example of the disconnect.
Total
disconnect. Someone sympathizes and said, follow your gut. Mama powers are strong. I'm glad he can bounce back. I would be questioning, too. Another one says, could it be something environmental that he or she is allergic to? Mother says, I'm starting to question that. Another person says, I've heard multiple mononucleosis cases in the past few months. I know it can present differently in everyone, but the fatigue is the big one. Good luck. I hope he is better and stays better. Mother says, I feel kind of dumb. I didn't think of mono. Thank you. Another person says, Angela has been sick every few weeks this winter, and everything comes back. 1 to 2 days in bed, wiped out.
See, no one's, I don't know what the vax status of these people is. Do you know?
100% vaxxed.
That's what I figured.
These are people that I know.
Yeah. This would be completely expected among the vaxxed. And the big word here is, once again, forgive the repetition, denial. They're all in denial. They dare not look at what they have done to themselves. They know that there's a big controversy about these injections now. They hear it, they know, but they will not go there.
No.
Not a chance.
No.
All right, the conversation goes on. Rosemary says, I'm so sorry to hear you guys are also stuck in the pattern, but also a little reassured. Angela is also at such and such, correct? Someone else says, yes, seventh grade. This by far has been the worst. Someone else responds to that. It's ridiculous. These are vax people now. Angela must be so sick of missing sports, too. I feel like Drew has missed more practices and games this winter than all the other years combined. Response to that, yep, the amount of practices and games she's missed is crazy. I honestly can't remember having such a bad virus just linger for so long. Well, okay, all right, I'll go on here. I teach in middle school, and this is the fourth time I've had a sore throat or other upper respiratory symptom since the fall. Starting in October, I lost my voice three times. And so far this time, it's just a sore throat, but I'm hoping it doesn't get worse in the next few days. Even before COVID, before we were all masked, I never got sick this frequently. I don't know what's going on or how to explain it. It's right in front of these poor people, and they just cannot, will not, dare not confront it. They won't look at it.
It's the cognitive dissonance is I've never seen anything like it.
I'll finish this one off and grab the next one. I don't know what is going on or how to explain it, how I'm feeling too. He has never been the kid to get sick all the time. Interesting in that you are somewhat geographically removed and seeing the same pattern. I work in a high school, and it's been a weird illness year there, too. But we aren't seeing this. Yeah, it's almost like all the immunities I had built up over 25 years of teaching have disappeared. I'm feeling like a first-year teacher all over again, being exposed to these new germs for the first time. I hope this is the last time for the year, for your sake, because it's definitely no fun. Well, all these people going back and forth, vaxxed, they have VADs, their immune systems are shot, they're picking up everything that the kids are carrying around, basically, and the kids are picking it up too. Many of the kids are probably injected as well, and they have no immune systems either. That's why they're sick all the time. It's rather apparent when you pay attention to what's going on here that...
Well, they are not suspecting the vaccine because the vaccine's supposed to protect...
Correct. No, they bought into the big lie. Go ahead.
Another one says, my child was sick for a week every month since November with the same type of thing. The doctor said a lot of kids have the same thing all this winter. Mother says, let's hope spring clears it out because we are all so done. I'm sorry your kid is dealing with the same thing. Another one says, my boys have been alternating with antibiotics for the same type of stuff that doesn't go away. They test negative for everything.
What's your guess? Are the kids shot up too?
Oh, yes.
Or are they just being overloaded with pathogens? It has to be that they're being injected, most of them.
I guarantee you most of these kids, I would say all of them here are yes. I mean, this is a very high uptake for the vax.
Got it. All right. This is in your general area then. Okay, I get it.
Yes. We have all been sick a lot more than usual this fall and winter. Another mother says, my kid has had multiple colds and pneumonia this year. It's been a rough one. Have you had him allergy tested for mold or other environmentals?
See? Geez. Wow.
Well, it's a consideration, but I wouldn't say that that's the first thing. Another one says, someone in my house has been sick or had a cold every week since September. Yes, it has been a tough year. And the last one, since nearly everyone was masked and avoiding large gatherings for 2 years, immune systems have deteriorated.
Oh, it's because of the masks.
It will take a couple years.
I see. Yes. Uh-huh.
It will take a couple years to build up again. we are all more vulnerable to more pesky but not life-threatening respiratory illnesses.
Oh.
It is strange, though, that he's the only family member impacted. Poor guy.
You know, these people are just not going to get it. They're going to get sicker. The syndrome that they think they're hopefully going to get away from is going to remain in all likelihood and just continue to concentrate in its severity. This is it. This is what's happening. In a year or two, many of these people are going to be gravely ill, I fear. I hope I'm wrong. But this is what a portrait of absolute horrible ignorance. I don't know. I'm going to give them a break here. They're just willfully not facing reality.
I shudder to think what these kids' futures hold. You know, you can't live on antibiotics. That's...
No. But let me say this, and I hope it doesn't sound commercial, but Allison C., again, is the best broad-spectrum, all-natural, with no negative side effects whatsoever, product that I have ever seen. And if I were vaxxed, or even if I were unvaxxed, I would recommend that everyone take this every day, at least one capsule. It will help give you at least a fair immune response if something comes along. And most of these people are in real trouble. But the Allison C is a really revolutionary product. So is Carnivora. There's another one. Don't forget. They're really good. Otherwise, what do you tell people? Yeah, as Erica just said, you can't live on antibiotics. Can't do it. It'll destroy you.
Well, and it'll promote, these resistant strains, and you get these super bugs.
You're a petri dish, and you're starting to turn out all kinds of crap.
And, they're perfect hosts now for things like tuberculosis. Probably not this candida thing, but who knows? It's not good. Not good.
All right, we are out of time. These hours always go very fast. Hope you found it helpful. We'll post the David Martin piece. It'll be over on the right-hand side in the archive later tonight, early in the morning. And again, go to it around 38 and around 50, and you'll get the two pieces that you heard tonight. It's a long interview otherwise. All right, thank you. Wonderful job, as always, doing the impossible.
Thank you, Jeff.
You bet.
Okay. Have a good evening, everyone.
Right. And we'll be right back with another hour. Stay with us.